This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien and Chris Sullivan. I'm not sure if we're ready for this, being that we're a year into a pandemic, but is there going to be a World War III? That's what Admiral James Stavridis is writing about in what is titled 2034, A Novel of the Next World War. Admiral Stavridis is not only a PhD, but was once the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO from 2009 to 2013. And so he knows what he's talking about when it comes to major conflicts. But just to start off, I know you want to get readers. I know this is fiction, but from what I've read in terms of the review of your book, you are genuinely worried about our competition with China.
I am. And the title of the book is 2034, A Novel of the Next World War. 2034, of course, refers to the year 2034, you know, between 10 and 15 years from now. And so my concern is the trend lines are not good. We're in a very acrimonious relationship with China. China's gaining more and more military capability to the point at which I think about 10 years from now, they will be a very serious peer competitor for the United States. I hope I'm not right. I hope that the book remains on the fiction list. It just hit number 6 on the New York Times fiction bestseller list. Hope it stays fiction.
Congratulations.
But I think we need to be mindful of the danger. This is a looming tower ahead of us.
Okay. Well, I know that the Chinese military, it's been a long time since I took an extensive tour of China. It was back in the 80s. I remember we went to one of their military airports, and the planes were actually rusting. So I take it they've improved since then. But what would we have to fight about? Well, I assume we don't have any territorial ambitions in that area. I know they've got a few artificial islands they want to protect. And, of course, there's Taiwan. But why would it have to come to war when they have been such an economic success without it?
Let's start with the South China Sea, which they claim in its entirety as territorial waters. This is a vast body of water. It's half the size of the continental United States. It's the size of the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean Sea combined. China claims it as internal territorial waters. They want it because it's full of hydrocarbons, oil, natural gas, and because 40% of the world's shipping passes through it. So that in and of itself is a quite significant disagreement between the two nations. And you might say, well, yeah, Admiral, it's really big, but it's a long way mm-hmm. away. Can't we just walk away? No, we really can't just walk away and effectively flip them the keys to the car for all of the Western Pacific. So I think that is where the flashpoint might be. And that's where the book opens, by the way, with three American destroyers transiting what we consider international waters, the high seas. They encounter a Chinese military excursion, and the rest starts to unfold from there.
If they want that area for the oil and gas deposits, we could checkmate them by eliminating our dependence on oil and gas, couldn't we?
I think that's a part of the solution, absolutely. And I think that there are other things we can do to work more coherently with China and avoid stumbling into a war that's in nobody's interest. What are we doing right now? We're dealing with a pandemic. We could work with them to prepare for the next pandemic. And we need to start, by the way, with a full accounting from China as to how we got where we are now. So there are zones of cooperation. We ought to look for them and avoid stumbling into a hot war with China.
Okay, let's talk about the cyber threat, not just from China, but from Russia, too. I know you're familiar with Russia, having been Supreme NATO commander. Explain, what are they actually capable of doing? If all they're capable of doing is trolling us, then okay, you know, I can prepare myself for trolling. If they're able to turn out the lights, though, or insert a bogus update into Windows 10 that blue screens our computers, then we got real trouble.
They can turn out the lights. They can turn your screen blue. They can take down our national transportation grid. Both Russia and China have a high degree of offensive cyber capability. So do we. And there's a kind of a rough deterrence out there. Hey, don't try that because we'll come right back at you. But That is not science fiction. That's a reality.
Then why have we left ourselves so vulnerable? There's got to be a way to put an air gap between critical systems and the rest of the internet such that a takeover like that would be impossible.
And we need to address that. And you could pose your question as in, well, why didn't we see the World Trade Towers getting knocked down? Why didn't we see this pandemic coming? It's because we're not very good at looking into the future because we kind of think tomorrow's going to look a lot like today. But it doesn't always work that way. There's a cyber menace that is growing. We need to look at what are the truly critical systems and insulate them from the internet.
Yeah, I can't be the only one. I'm not terribly brilliant when it comes to computers, but I'll tell you, every time my computer is involuntarily updated, which happens, what, once a month, I just trust. And so I'm hoping that smarter people have made sure that my trust is well placed. Now, stuff that's not under our control, or maybe only partially, and half the audience rolls their eyes when I ask questions like this, but is global warming something that has military implications?
100%. I'll give you three immediate examples. One is as the ice melts on the polar caps, particularly in the Arctic, it's going to open up these shipping routes and access to oil and gas. That sounds like a good thing, right? Yeah. But the problem is it's all through a disputed part of the world between Russia on one side of the Arctic and five NATO nations on the other side. So you're opening a big, wet, slippery, cold thunderdome up there where you could potentially have real conflict. Number two, kind of the opposite, drought. As global warming creates more and more dead zones around the equator, you drive migration north. One of the reasons we have a crisis on our border right now in the United States is because of harsh weather, droughts in Central America. That's pushing those refugees. Same thing in Europe. They're coming up from sub-Saharan Africa, the northern part of that, because of climatological changes. And then third and finally, our military infrastructure is affected by rising sea levels. The largest naval port in the world is Norfolk, Virginia. Most estimates say that it'll be largely difficult to operate in and out of that because of rising sea levels in the 50-year future. That's not that far away, and that could impact any number of our bases and seacoasts. I could give you a few more reasons, but yes, there are national security implications.
Yeah, that's quite enough. So if you're looking for someone to blame for the problems at the border, it's not Joe Biden. It's your gas-guzzling truck, huh?
I think H.L. Mencken, who is a 20th century commentator, said once that to every problem, there is a solution. Easy, obvious, and wrong.
And wrong. Admiral James Stavridis, author of 2034, a novel of the next world war. To find out who wins, you'll just have to read the book. Admiral, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
What a pleasure. Good interview. Thank you.